Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to preach you another message on the church. I thank God for the church. Thank God for this church. And the Lord's done so many great things for us. And all the things that He's done, I'm telling you the God's honest truth, and if you think back, you'll probably agree with me. Every good thing in my spiritual life and every good thing I have in my spiritual life that has ever drawn me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ has happened inside a church. I ain't saying you can't have those things happen at home. You can't have those things happen at your business. You can't have those things happen at your car, in your vehicle. I've had wonderful things between me and God happen in all of those places. But there is just something special about a local church where God is able to work in the hearts of the people that are willing to put aside the time that it takes to come and gather together with like-minded believers and get together in one mind and one accord around the things of God. And I believe that it's something that we need to realize tonight. One of the great truths about the local church is the fact that there's nothing permanent done without the local church. There's nothing that can be done permanent that's not done without the church. We need the church. We need the church. There ought to be everybody in here ought to have a church that means something to you. It ought to. There ought to be a church in every one of your minds that means something to you some way, somehow, form or fashion. I mean, Prentice Baptist Church will always hold a special place in my heart. That's where I got saved. Ball Cliff Baptist Church will always hold a special place in my heart. That's where I grew up. That's where God called me to preach. And I mean, Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola will always have a special place in my heart because that's where I went and got to sit under one of the greatest, what I think is one of the greatest Bible teachers that's ever been. And I got to sit under him down there for 4 years. I mean, Bible Believers Baptist Church down in Jacksonville, Florida will always have a special place in my heart because I go there every single year and I get my batteries charged and I get my wagon full and I just get a chance to sit back and just have a bunch of preachers preach at me. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't none of them hold a candle to this place right here. This church right here has got such a place in my heart that I can't even explain to you how much it means to me to get to come here every single week. And it ought to be that way with you. There ought to be church, if not churches, that hold dear places in your heart, whether in your past or in your current. And it ought to be places where your mind can go from time to time, because I think it's important for Christians to take trips down memory lane from time to time. And just remember how God brought you through certain things and how that in some way that was tied to somebody in a local church. And how that the Lord worked that out for you. And it's embedded in your memory so much so that you'll never forget it. There are things that have happened to you in your Christian life that you will never forget because of where they happened and what happened when you were there. I can remember revival meetings as a boy, and I can remember the preacher that preached, and I can remember things that happened in those services as vividly as if it happened yesterday, and it might have been 20, 25 years ago that it happened. And I still, to this day, can vividly remember. I can remember preacher Mike Queen. He's a pastor down at Balsam Grove right now. But I can remember whenever he was pastor, he was preaching a revival meeting that we had had up at Sugar Creek Baptist Church up there at the very end of Caney Fork. And we were all up there, and I was a young kid, and I had just started learning to play guitar. And I was up there with the choir, and I was trying to play. And a man up there named Liam, he's the one who taught me. He used to work for the bus garage down there in Silva, and he'd always come up to Blue Ridge when I was in grade school, and he would fill the buses up with fuel. He drove the fuel truck, came up every week, and filled the buses up with fuel. And I'd get to see him. I'd see him out there in the parking lot, and if I could get away, I'd run out there and talk to him because that man got me interested in wanting to learn to play the guitar. And Liam would be up there, and Trevor Burns would be up there, and a bunch of other guys would be up there playing guitars and banjos and big old bass fiddles and things like that. And I was just as pitiful as I could be trying to keep up with them fellas, and I was probably messing up 100 times over and things like that. But you know what that preacher did? He got in a big way of preaching, and he come down through there and grabbed me by the arm, went to shaking my hand, and me sitting on the edge of the aisle, just a little boy, scared me absolutely to death, telling me, just you keep playing that guitar for Jesus, son. The Lord will teach you how to play. But see, stuff like that sticks out in my mind, and it's stuff that I'll never forget, but it's all because, it's not because of who the person was, it's because of where I was. I was in the church. And things like that that stick out in my mind are there, and they're sticking in my mind forever because of the place I was in, the local church. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm just going to read you two verses of Scripture. Stand with me if you will. I want to give you something tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. And we kept you over a little bit this morning, so we'll try to get you out of here at a decent time tonight. But Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now notice that these things that he listed here are not things that he put here to rule and reign and to give you a hard time. He said he gave them to you. They're gifts. All right, but then he says 12, for he says this is why he gave them to you. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Brother Candler, would you ask God to help us tonight? Yes, God. Amen, amen. All right, now as you sit, I'm going to, well, no, you just hold your place right there. But go ahead and sit. Y'all can go ahead and sit down. But I'm fixing to have you turn over to another scripture, but I'm not going to have you go there just yet. We'll get there in just a minute. But one of the things, I want to give you about five things here tonight, some things that I hope that will help you in regards to understanding that there's nothing permanent can be done that's not done through a church. Now, this is where a lot of people want to buck against the Bible, and they want to go against what the Lord has done. But I want to tell you something. It's the Lord's plan to set up a local church full of local believers, and that's how God works. God works through a local church. All right, God can work through people, but He works through people that are in the local church. And that's, I mean, contrary to what people want to believe. Say, well, He can work through me while I'm at home sitting on the couch watching the preacher on the TV. He ain't going to get you near. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God can reach you anywhere He wants to reach you because He's got your address. But I want to tell you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God can do more for you and through you and in you if you'd be found sitting somewhere where you ain't got the distractions of home all around you, where you ain't got the ability to mute the preacher, switch the channel, turn off the message, or edit it to where it fits you, or turn the volume up or down so that it fits you. I mean, some people won't come into church and sit and listen to a gospel message because they don't like somebody raising their voice and yelling at them. Like, I heard a preacher preach one time, and he said, if a man can't take somebody standing up and yelling at him, that man might need to go to the bathroom and check, make sure he ain't got lace on his britches. Because if a man can't take another man yelling at him, he's got some problems in his... He's got more problems than just, I don't want to go to church. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know women that's got more backbone than men. Amen. Because I know women that'll sit in a church and listen to the preacher get red-faced and stomp all over sin and stomp all over the stuff that's going on in life. And they'll sit there, amen, preacher, you keep preaching. Yes, Lord, bless that preacher. God, fill him with your spirit. Lord, just keep him coming, keep him coming. And I've seen men that when the women are praying, the men are sitting there looking like a bunch of owls on old fence post, eyes abatting, wondering how long's it going to be before he shuts up, we can get out of here. Because there's got to be a ball game on or something to watch that could get me out of here. But I want to tell you something tonight, beloved. There ain't nothing in your life going to amount to anything if it don't come through the local church. And you're going to have to get it through this church house. It's going to come through this facility. Oh, it's got, let me tell you something. God can work works in your life that nobody else can work, but He's going to do them through a church. He's going to do them through a preacher. He's going to do them through His Word. I didn't say He's going to do them just through this preacher. Now, don't go thinking that. But I'm going to tell you, God uses people. He said He gave some apostles. And he gave some, he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave these to us because these are gifts that God gives to us to help us along the way. Nothing permanent is ever going to be done if it ain't done through the local church. And you're not going to find any of these things that God said would help you. None of these things are going to help perfect the saints. Nothing that's going to help work the work of the ministry or edify the body of Christ if it ain't done through the local church and the gifts that God gave the local church as far as apostles, pastors, teachers, preachers, and that's the way the Lord set it up. So if you think you're going to get something done for God, if you think your life's going to amount to anything for Jesus Christ, there's only one place that you're going to be able to get the help you need, and it's inside a local church. And that's the only place it's going to happen. You're not going to get the help you need staying at home. You ain't going to get the help you need avoiding congregational gatherings where the Word of God is being taught, preached, and God's name uplifted. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get near as much as you would if you say, well, I get just as much here and there. You're backslid. And that's just all there is to it. I get more at home and I can get more in the car and I can get more in my own private devotion than I can going to church. You're backslid. You're out of fellowship with God. Because you're trying to say that the method of worship and fellowship between you and God is based on your opinion of what fellowship is good and ain't good. And the Lord said that you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but you're to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you can't do that if you were at home. And you can't do that if you ain't where you're supposed to be. You got to be careful. You got to be careful because when you start looking for a church, now everybody that's in here is a part of this church and you've been a part of this church. I don't suspect you're going to go hunting you another one anytime soon. At least I hope you ain't. I hope you're happy where you're at, and I hope you're glad with what you're getting, and I hope you're being blessed, and hope you're being helped. And that's what our prayer is, and that's what we desire, and that's what we want to see happen. But let me tell you something. If you ain't careful, you can get inside a local church and you can start to pick that thing apart looking for the perfect one, and there ain't one. There ain't no perfect church. Things people use to try to replace the church is what makes it dangerous. What are you talking about? Say, well, they're missing out on what they think should be included in the part of the church service, so when they don't get it at church, they try to get it in the world. What are you talking about? Well, they say that I can worship God just as easily in my deer stand as I can in the church house. I can worship God just as easily out on my bass boat as I can in the church house. I've had people say, well, I can go and get together with my friends and we can sit around and have a Bible study. You want me to tell you how church splits happen? Church splits happen when one person is dissatisfied with the way things are going inside the church, so they start getting together with people that are in the church and they get this little bit over here and this little bit over here and this little bit over here, and they say, well, we're just having a Bible study. That's all we're doing. Next thing you know, a Bible study leads to a church service started in the home, and it leads to a church split. Why is that? Because they don't appreciate the gifts that God has already given to the local church and don't get under the authority of them and let God do something in their life. They're too interested in picking that thing apart and trying to figure out, how can I arrange these pieces so that this works out for me? Instead of saying, you know what, maybe I'm the one with the problem. Maybe I need to get back and get under the microscope of God and maybe get on the old drawing board and get on the old shop bench and let the Holy Ghost of God do a work inside of me, inside of my heart and inside of my life and change me, because I'm the one that obviously has the problem. It ain't the church and it ain't the preacher and it ain't the deacons and it ain't the teachers and it ain't the people. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one with the problem. You know, over there in Israel one time, they had a little problem with a couple of tribes having a little civil war there amongst themselves, and they began to question among themselves, all right, now listen, whenever we want to get, you know, the other tribe, they're going to want to come in here, and they're going to want to get in, and they're going to want to sneak in and try to infiltrate our ranks and our camps and everything like that, so we're going to have a way. We're going to have a way to where we know if it's one of us or not that's trying to get in across our lines. And they said, well, I tell you what happened. Whenever somebody gets ready to come across the lines, you have the guard stop them and tell them to say, Shibboleth. And if they can't say it like we say it, then you know that they're not of our tribe and you need to kill them. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, you better watch drawing lines in the sand so fine that can't nobody see them. Now, there's certain lines that we draw in the sand, and it's a big old trench of a line, and you can see it just as plain as day. And on one side, we say we believe in salvation by grace through faith. And then on the other side, well, you need to be baptized with along with salvation in order to be saved. That line's clearly seen, and I know which side of it I'm standing on. But then you go to drawing these little finite lines like, well, if you don't have your hair cut a certain way. Well, if your skirts, you ladies, if your skirts ain't a certain length. You gentlemen, if y'all don't, you know, if y'all don't do such and such, if y'all allow this going on, you know, if y'all got this and this in your homes or whatever, you see what I'm saying? And you think I'm being ridiculous, but this is the kind of stuff that they're doing inside local churches now. They are drawing lines so fine that nobody can see them, and then when somebody steps over them and church discipline comes in and gets a hold of them and shakes them up real good, then they think, what in the world did I do? What is that? That's just somebody that's picking that thing apart, just trying to figure out what it is that's going to fit them. They've been burnt before. You got to be careful whenever you start trying to make your church something that other people might be attracted to or might want to come and be a part of, because if you ain't careful, you'll turn what should be a place for sheep to come and get fed into a fortress of solitude where nobody but the ones that are already in are comfortable being here. And if somebody from the outside comes in, they're not going to feel welcome because there's too many tripwires drawn in the sand and nobody knows where the landmines are. Let alone, I mean, the people that are coming in don't know where they are. And if you don't watch, some of them forgetful Christians that's been in the church for so long will forget where they are. And then, boom, you've blown the whole church to pieces. That's what goes on in your churches now. What do we got to do about that? Quit picking stuff apart. We don't need to pick things apart. Sometimes just being glad God gave you a church where you got a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing preacher and Bible-believing song leaders and Bible-believing folks that come and love the Word of God and love that old King James Bible, and you ought to be grateful for that. Amen. And say, praise the Lord. No, we don't all agree on everything. No, we're not agree on everything. We're not going to agree on everything. But bless God, at least Jesus Christ died for sin, and we all agree on that and know that that's the only way we're ever going to get out of here. You can major in the minors and go too far. I want to also say this. I've kind of already hit on it just a little bit. Go ahead and get to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. If you find a church that's remotely biblical. Now listen, I said remotely biblical. I didn't say perfect. If you find a church that's remotely biblical, man, you better thank God, because He'd give you a gift. Because Bible-believing churches are getting fewer and fewer and fewer because they're adopting new versions of the Bible, they're adopting new ideologies, and their preachers are getting backbones like French fries. Because they ain't got the guts to stand up on that book regardless of who or what walks in the doors of the church. Amen. That's right. They'll change that message and cut that thing so that they can get a little bit deeper of an offering plate, or they can worry about not hurting somebody's feelings because somebody's dabbling some little two-bit sin and they don't want to lose them as church members. All right, Proverbs chapter 13, look at what he says in verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. It rubs off. But he that is a companion of fools shall be destroyed. What is a fool? Somebody who'd rather pick that thing apart. Somebody who don't have enough sense to sit down, shut their mouth, and let the Word of God do the work. I had a guy come to me one time when I was at the church. No, it wasn't a man, it was a woman. It was a woman come to me. I was preaching at a church, and the pastor had been sick and had been down. He'd had an operation, and he'd been down for about a month. I'd been filling in for him for about a month and going into 7 weeks, or not 7 weeks, but about 6 weeks of filling in for him. And this one lady that wasn't even a member of the church was coming, and she came about every other church service. I was preaching once on Sunday and once on Wednesday, and this woman was coming in about every other church service. And whenever she'd come in, I'd get up and I'd preach, and I'd say something during that during my sermon about the authority of the King James Bible above all other versions. And that woman, after about a month of that, came to me and she said, you know something, you'd be so much more appealing as a preacher if you'd quit mentioning the King James Bible every time you preached. So I got up there and I said, well, okay, thank you for your input, you know. I've been trying to be polite. I was just a young punk then, still kind of a young punk, but I was really a young punk then. Some of y'all think he ain't got no grace. I didn't have no grace back then. I mean, none. I was 23 years old, man. I didn't have no grace back then. And I got in the pulpit the next church service, and there she sat, and I said, y'all open your King James Bibles. And I said, if you got anything else, you ain't going to like it because your Bible ain't going to have this. Whop! She closed her Bible, sat on a pew, and sat like that and looked at me and just sat there like that the entire service. What'd you do? I did it on purpose. I did it for spite. Was that smart of me? Probably not. But when you find somebody that's willing to come up and try to tell you what they think ought to be done, you're getting into a territory that ain't yours to get into. And I want to tell you something. You want to talk about nothing permanent good being done without the church, you can go and do something permanently bad by letting something get out of order like that. All right, now, times of inconsistency in our lives could never help be turned around without the church. Have you ever had a time when, and I ain't going to even ask for a raise of hands because every hand in the house would be up, including the preachers. There you go, two hands up. Everybody in here has had a time when their life and their spiritual life had inconsistencies, right? You've had times where your Bible reading was absolutely out the window. You've had times where your prayer life absolutely barely even existed. If it wasn't for you asking the blessing over your food, you wouldn't have a prayer life in some cases. And you know what? None of those inconsistencies in your life or in mine would have ever gotten turned around were it not for this church. Or were it not for a church. All of that stuff that gets going in our hearts and in our lives can never be reversed if it ain't for the church. We learn in the church about why we ought to pray. You learn in the church why you ought to be in your Bible. And you learn in the church about the dangers of the inconsistencies of a child of God who's supposed to be walking daily with Jesus Christ, not having that relationship, not having that time. But you know what it does mean? Now, I don't want you to think that you need to get inconsistent with your spiritual life, but just as a little side note and a little nudge, joke, is inconsistencies in church people is job security for a pastor. Because the inconsistencies of the church people gives me something to preach about. Now, half of y'all laughing, half of you like, like you ain't got enough to preach about. Hey, I ain't said nothing about a barn or animals in the barn or anything for weeks now. I kind of, except for just then. But that's just referring back. I didn't say y'all was anything. Oh, goodness. All right. Now, the church provides guardrails. That's something you need to thank God for. The church provides guardrails for you because it's safety. I mean, y'all all been bowling, right? And you go on that end lane, you take the little kids, and they couldn't hit a bowl. They couldn't take that ball and hit a pin with it, save their life, so they put the little bumpers in there. Now they got them things that they pull up out of the floor. Used to be when I was a kid, it was two pipes that they stuck in the gutter. And you could bowl that ball hard enough and it'd roll the pipe up out of the gutter. And it got to where that's what we wanted to do. We didn't care about the ball staying in the lane and going down and hitting the pins. We wanted to bowl the ball so hard that it went under the pipe and rolled all the way down the gutter. And that pipe just went flop out on the floor. Then the guy had, hey man, it come out again. The guy had to come. We were mean, man. That poor guy, that maintenance guy, he'd have to come down there and he'd start down at the far end and he'd take that 4-inch corrugated pipe and put it back up in. He'd be rolling it all the way back up, go all the way to the front. Next guy up, take that ball. Whoa, I mean, hit that pipe. Hey, Joe, it's out again. Hey, we got to know the guy on a first name basis. His name was Joe. He was the owner's son. And we got to know him real well. Eventually, we got to thinking our names were a couple of four-letter dirty words because that's all he'd be muttering as he walked by us to put it back. Eventually, whenever it got down to a few times, he'd say, just put it back yourself! We quit doing it then. It wasn't no fun. The church provides guardrails for those times whenever your life rolls off on the shoulder of the road. You ever been driving down the four lane or down the interstate and thank God for the fact that them little bumper things was on the sides of the road and you roll it back over? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a million wonders to the Lord that they ain't been a half a million people killed because of people falling asleep and them little bumper things wasn't there to wake them up. I'll tell you what, God puts them things in your life and in my life and He calls it the local church. Because when your life is swerving off this way or swerving off that way, He puts them little bumper things out there or them guardrails out there to keep you from going off in the ravine, to keep you from falling off the edge of the mountain cliff, or to wake you up whenever you fall asleep in the Christian life. And it's something that you ought to thank God for, and it's something you ought to rejoice over, that God cares enough about you to put that stuff out there so that you aren't just left in that state of sleep or left in that place of slumber. Next thing you know, the next thing you're seeing is you're seeing the judgment seat of Christ because you fell asleep at the wheel and you run off the road and you hit something head on and it ended your Christian walk too soon. And there you are. Man, you ought to thank God for those things. Don't let your life get on cruise control. That's what a lot of Christians have done. That's probably one of the hardest things for me when we go on a trip. Because in that new truck, I ain't even got to drive my hands. I can get just like this. I can sit in that seat and I can lay that thing back just a little bit and hit cruise control and I stick my knees up. And I can steer with my knees. What's worse is if Heather's got the phone on the dashboard turned on for some cartoons for Katie to watch and then I get to... Heather says, watch the road. Oh. Just... I like Puppy Dog Pals. You know what? I'm even getting just a little bit okay with My Little Pony. I even got the song memorized. My Little Pony, My Little Pony. My favorite's Rainbow Dash. That's my favorite one. Heather likes Pinkie Pie. Why I'm telling y'all this, I don't know. All right, Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to wrap this up here in just a second. Philippians chapter 2. Now, when it comes to these permanent things in your life being connected to the church, one thing I want you to understand is it comes from a place of humility. And if you're going to have a place of humility in your life, it's only going to be because you esteem other people more than yourself, because that's the only way a person can be humbled. Philippians, he says in chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, he tells you, if therefore, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. Now you see in this is talking about fellowshipping, right? That's what he's talking about, consolation in Christ, comfort of love, if any fellowship, any of these things with other believers that are like you. He says, if any bowels and mercies, you know, you need to show mercies to other people. Do you understand that if no mercy is shown by you, then you will receive none? That's a biblical principle. All right. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what you need and what I need is to make sure that we're humbled. It's important that you stay humble. How do I stay humble? You esteem yourself less than you esteem other people. You hold other people's well-being and their spiritual well-being higher than your own personal feelings. That's how you do it. That's the only way you can do it. You wouldn't be able to learn humility otherwise. How else are you going to learn humility than to know how to put yourself down? It's the hardest thing in the world for a person to do is to put themselves down. I mean, let alone, I mean, you have an easier time accepting he must increase but I must decrease than you do you decreasing so that somebody else can get the upper hand above you. Because when it comes to me and God, I don't have a problem giving place to Him to have whatever control He wants. But when I have to put myself down and let somebody else sit on my shoulders to get closer to Him, that's when it becomes a problem. You're not going to learn humility that way. You learn humility by suffering while others around you succeed. You have a harder time while they seem to have it easier. And then now here's the kicker, you're okay with it. Say, I'm glad they're doing this, but I don't like the fact that I'm not. No. You say, they seem to be a lot better off than what they were. And I'm not, but I'm sure glad that things are going good, as good for them as they are. Now listen, now you need to hear that. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do on your best day as a child of God. How do you think you're going to do it without being in church like you're supposed to be? Like being in here, being in the local church. How are you going to do that? How are you going to take somebody who you have got an issue with or have had an issue with and forgive them like you're supposed to? If you don't have this place to come to and get strength from. And then you watch while they prosper. And they don't have any remorse about anything. And you think, well, that's not right. I've been sorrowing over this. My heart has broken over this. And I have went to them. And I've poured out my soul. I've begged their forgiveness. And yet all it seems I get from them is a cold shoulder. But yet it seems like they're just getting along like everything's hunky-dory. And the Holy Spirit of God says, but you did your part. Let it go. You ain't going to be able to do that without having a place to come. You need a place to come when you get in those situations. Those things arise in your life and you don't have nowhere to run to. You better run straight to the church or you better run to the throne of grace. But I'm going to tell you something. Running to the throne of grace in your own home is going to do you some good, but it'll do you a lot more good if you'll get to a doctor's office where you can see somebody. Home remedies work, but only so far. All right. You need your own life with Jesus Christ. But when you get off that trail, sometimes it's nice to know that there's still a way to something there to guide you back on the road. All right, but I want you to understand this. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. Ain't no Christian in the Word of God ever, no Christian in the Word of God ever was able to accomplish anything alone. Nobody. Go to Romans chapter 16, and this is my last one. I'm through. Romans chapter 16. Now here's the greatest example of Christianity, aside from Jesus Christ Himself, that you've got to follow. This is your apostle. This is your apostle right here. And I want to show you what your apostle said. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, do you see that right there? He's commending these people. He's recognizing these people before the ones that he's writing to, because he's telling them, he's saying, if it wasn't for some of these people putting their lives on the line for me, there are hundreds, if not thousands, that would not have heard the gospel. That's what he said right there. He said that not only do I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. He said people that have been there, that I've been able to set up churches and I've been able to set up pastors, and people have heard the gospel and they're being born again because two people were willing to put their... Man, can you even wrap your mind around that? Two people were willing to give all. And because of two people willing to give all, one preacher... Now listen to me. One preacher was able to establish church after church after church in a Gentile nation where thousands were being saved. It could be a mama and a daddy who did everything and gave everything to raise one child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To see that one child grow up to become a great servant of Jesus Christ. To touch the lives of thousands. I bet Billy Sunday's mama and daddy never dreamed that they'd be raising one of the greatest evangelists that ever set foot on American soil. I bet Billy Graham's mama and daddy never once thought that they would raise the greatest evangelist in the 20th century. Yeah, he didn't end so well, but man, look at the lives that man changed. Look at the power that man had with God for so long. Two people willing to lay down their lives. What are you saying? You can't do it alone. Paul couldn't do it alone. He didn't. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved. I ain't even touching that one. Who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? Now listen, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. You know, sometimes the ones that are the biggest help are the ones who just help take care of the needs. Say what? Well, the preacher needed to eat, so they fed him. He needed somewhere to bed down, so they made him a pallet somewhere and gave him somewhere to sleep. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of a note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Say, is that Paul's mama? I don't think that's Paul's mama, but it's Rufus's mom, who obviously thought enough of the Apostle Paul to treat him like he was her own son. Now, can you imagine that? Now, Paul, you get over here and sit down and you eat some supper. Now, listen, Mrs. Rufus, I got to go out here. I've got these churches I got to go get ready to preach at. She said, listen, you can bear the burden of all the churches and you're going to have to do that. I know you're a chosen vessel before God, but you ain't going to be able to bear the burden of all the churches on an empty stomach. Now, get in here and sit down and eat. He says, that woman treated me like a mother. She treated me like a mother. Said she's beloved. He says, salute Asyncretus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, the brethren which are with them. Salute, yeah, all of them. Saints. That's what he calls them. And then he tells them, last of all, salute one another. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Greet one another. Now, I don't know about you. I'd have a hard time with that one. We had our singing here on homecoming, and Brother Ernie Cable and his family was all here. Man, you talk about, boy, what a blessing. That brother get up here and they sung, and he didn't even get a chance to preach preaching hour. He just preached through singing and preaching. Man, I loved it. Loved every minute of it. We got back here and we eat. They stood up and they sung another one right back here in the fellowship hall. And when they got done, they was getting ready to leave, had a long drive back, and man, I just went over and I grabbed that old man, I hugged his neck. And he said, brother, I love you in the Lord. And he pulled me back and he planted one right there. He said, and there's you a holy kiss in Jesus' name. Well, that's the first time anybody but my daddy's ever laid lip on me. Any man except my daddy. Be hard for me, some man come up and plant one on me, and I say, brother, let me plant something on you. It was a custom back then. You know what you have to realize? Now listen, it's hard. We're stubborn people, man. I'm telling you, we're stubborn. 21st century people, we're stubborn. Self-made. Self-absorbed. We can do it on our own. We don't need no help. No, you need help. You can't do it by yourself. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't get up here and preach every week like I do if it wasn't for y'all praying for me. I hope you pray for me. I feel like you do. I feel like y'all lift me up and you pray for me. And there ain't nothing I couldn't do anything I'd do up here without y'all praying for me. All the hats I have to wear throughout the week, doing the things that I have to do, I wouldn't be able to do things if I didn't have a wife at home praying for me, supporting me, backing me up. I like to not. Guns almost had church tonight without you, preacher. Because I got ready to walk out the door, and my little one come and put her arms around my leg and bawled, and looked up at me, "Daddy, Daddy." Hadn't seen me all day. I got home. She was down for a nap. She slept all afternoon. She wakes up. She's up 15 minutes. Daddy's getting ready to come back to church. She didn't want Daddy to leave. And so as I picked up my Bible and I put my coat on and I reached to get the doorknob, she's behind me doing this. You know how she does. And I said, "Honey, I can't. I got to go to church." And she didn't slam them down like she's throwing a fit. She just lowered them and turned and back to her mama. She just really slowly. And she walked over to her mama and she didn't crawl up in her lap or anything. She just walked over and she goes and just throws her head in her mama's lap and just goes to bawling. Say, "What'd you do?" Turned around. I put my Bible down. I took my coat off and I knelt down and I said, "Hey." She looked at me and I said, I didn't say, "Come here, honey, come here." I just put my arms out. And she jumps out of her mama's lap. She come running and she dove right into her daddy's arms. And then she started trying to climb up my legs because she wanted me to hold her. You know what I realized? I can't do this alone. That little 16-month-old baby doesn't do anything. She's incapable of doing anything that she knows of. But she does more for her daddy than what she realizes. Because it's because of her daddy gets up and goes and works. It's because of her daddy don't quit preaching even when he's so tired he wants to give up and he wants to just stop doing everything. It's because of her and because of the fact that he gave her to me because of how much I love him. But you can't do it on your own. You know what you got to have? You got to have this church. You need this church. You need it. There have been plenty of people here of late that's decided they don't need it. They said, "I don't need that church. I'll go find me another." That's all right. You go and find you another. When I said what I did, however long ago it was, I was preaching that stuff on doctrine, and I said, "If you can't get something out of me and I'm not giving you something that feeds you or helps you," I said, "I'd rather you go find you a preacher that does and can help you rather than to have you stay here and be starving." Now, I want you to understand, I knew what I was saying when I said that, and to this day, I still have no reserves that I said it because I meant it when I said it. I care more about the spiritual well-being of people than I do about how many backsides are sitting in the pews of the church where my name is on the church sign as the pastor. I assume that you all are here because you believe that God can use me to feed you to something. Otherwise, what in the Sam Hill are you doing here? Wasting your time and God's time. I ain't going to sit here and tell you I'm the best thing since sliced bread because I'm far from it. There have been men come through this church that 10 times the man of God I could ever dream to be. But this is where God's got me right now. And I'm here for somebody, for some reason. And I'm telling you tonight that you ain't going to be able to get accomplished what you need to without this place. Because you can't do it on your own. Ain't no need to try to pick it apart because we can't do that. God gave you a church so you could be a part of something bigger than you could ever be by yourself. Because you'll never be a part of anything that's bigger than what you can be a part of by investing in this place. Getting involved in this place. Because let's be honest, you're more bold when you're around people that are like you. You're more bold in the Lord than you are when you're alone. You can get more done being around people that are like you, believe like you, and can encourage you. Why do you think this year the Lord's laid it on my heart to have some youth meetings? I want some of the youth that's in this community that have not been in this church for years because of one thing or another between moms and dads and people in the community, adults. And now the kids are missing out on the truth and the kids are missing out on church because the parents and the people couldn't get along. I'm trying to get some bridges mended because I know that it's not the people, the adults, that are paying for it. It's the kids that are paying for it. So I want to have youth meetings to get these young people back in the house of God where they need to be. Get them under the preached word. I want to get singings happening monthly here so we can get God's people coming together and meeting together and worshiping together. That's what we need. That's why we're having revival in March. Why? Because there ain't no telling how tough 2020 is going to be on everybody. You need something to help get you through. So we're having revival in the spring. And if God wills and everything works out, we're going to have another one next spring. And I'm just going to start making it a constant thing. Every spring we're going to have revival. Blue Valley does it. Other places do it. They just schedule a revival at a certain time every year. And we just may start doing that. Why? Because the year's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher as time goes on. You're going to need something. We're going to do our best to try to get it for you. Nothing permanent can be done without a local church. Nothing permanent can be done without a local church. It takes a place like this and people that are in it to make an impact that's going to last. Not one that's just going to blow away as the person in time blows away. But it takes a church. All right. Father, thank you for the time you've given us to be here. Lord, we pray now that you'd please watch over us as we go our separate ways. We pray that you'd be with the ones of us who are unable to be here. May you heal them with whatever may be going on, sickness or pains and things of that sort. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight you'd help us to realize how important this place is. Lord, we put as much emphasis on this place as we possibly can because we believe it's important. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take this serious. Lord, I feel too many times we treat church like it's a joke and treat it like it's just some place to come and just have a good old time. But Lord, this is a serious business. This place is somewhere we're supposed to be here to worship the Lord and get something from your word. And I pray that you'd help us in the foreseeable future to make sure we put you in your proper place. And Lord, take this serious. Remember that we need to be here because it's a serious business. Lord, we love you and thank you for this church and thank you for the people that make it up. And we'll give you the glory for all that you do for us in the future. And all things we ask in the name above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.